I told them in the side room, it comes and goes, but I want to apologize if Beth may give me a hand signal or something. If I start screaming, I have liquid in my right ear or my left ear, and I can hardly hear anything. So if you see my, that's trying to pop the pressure. I mean, I can. So if I tend to be loud anyway. So if I start screaming too loud, just yell at me or make a motion to me, because I'm going with some hard hearing. If you want to turn to Isaiah 43, I told Brother Keith he's going to have to sit through this perhaps for the second time. I kind of the gist of where I'm going to share today, it kind of the Lord laid this on my heart a little bit several weeks ago. It was in a not a funny way, but an odd way, and it was kind of funny as I went through, and I made these notes about 3.5, 4 weeks ago, and I sat down this morning and in here, so I sat down this morning with a fresh piece of clean paper to write a note, an outline, re-outline this stuff, and I just felt like I didn't hear a bull voice or anything. I just kind of felt like, no, just let it go where it goes. So I had to make sure, first of all, I could find all my pieces. So they were all tucked in my Bible. So I did find them all. I did miss one scripture that we might be at, Casey, and that would be, where did I write it down at? Matthew 26:36. But that will be toward the end. But I had given her a couple of the scriptures. But I knew we were going to start in Isaiah 43, and it's very familiar scripture to some of us. To a lot of us, and I've read it. I've this is one of my go-to scriptures when I'm going through a difficult time, perhaps. And again, it's a lot of us may have a have it pinned or stuck to a refrigerator. It's kind of like the Beatitudes. It can be some it sometimes can be so familiar it loses its fire. And I pray that that doesn't happen to us. But I will just. I'm just going to share with what I felt the Lord laid on my heart several weeks ago, and I've been chewing on it since. But let me read some scripture here, then I'll share from the heart about something kind of funny. But I want to open up with this, and then I want to close with some familiar scripture to a lot of us, the prodigal son scripture. And if there wasn't a more perfect couple of songs, but again, it may be totally out of left field for you, but it's like everything I heard today was just a reinforcement of what I just felt like God wanted to share. And that second song we sang, I can't think of titles and I can't think of verses, and but it just lines right up with where I feel like we're going to close today. So let me hurry and get out of the way here. But Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Why? God says, fear not. Why? Because you did it all right. You came in here today. You're going to eat a huge lunch because you came in here today all fasted and ready to pray. You came in here after having gone over to, you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind in your prayer closet this morning, and you went next door and and did something for your neighbor because you loved your neighbor as yourself this morning. So you can come in here and fear not, right? Fear not, why? Absolutely. It seems so simple, but we don't live that way. How many of you in here, you don't have to raise your hand, battle fear. Fear this, fear that, fear this, fear that, fear this, fear that. And God says, fear not. Not because you've done it right and deserve it. Fear not because I've redeemed you. The Father says, fear not because my Son died for you. He shed his holy blood for you. So fear not. And I felt like the Lord laid that on my heart here recently, and it was like, sounds so simple. But I've not allowed that simple truth to do what it was designed to do in my life. Amen? Lord, let's be honest with God. Lord, I'm fearful. I mean, I have fear here. I have anxiety here. Help me remember what you've done for me. What you've did for me and done for me and what you want to do for me. But the Lord says, fear not. Why? Because I've redeemed you. And it doesn't stop there. I've called you by your name, Pat. You're not just one of the masses. He calls you by your name. That scripture we were talking about earlier, when Moses was on the backside of the desert, the Bible says, the burning bush, when he stopped and inquired, what did God do? He called him by name. Moses. Linda. You may have run, I promise you, nobody in here perhaps has run longer than Moses ran from God. He was 80 and had been running for 40 years. And God called him by name. Brett. Brett. I called you by your name. You are mine. I don't just know you. I didn't just die for you. You are mine. You're mine. Trevor, the good, the bad, the ugly. The good days, the bad days, you run from me. But at the end of the day, with frustrations from your hat, from you and from me, you're mine. And I love you because you're mine. Amen? It doesn't mean God winks at the sin. It breaks his heart. He's not mad. He doesn't want his children going through and suffering the pain that we self-inflict. But he's not mad at anybody in here or anybody listening. You're his. Well, let's back up one half step. Are you this morning his? You're his creation. But have you personally accepted what Jesus Christ did for you? Have you yielded to that? Have you thanked him for that? Have you confessed that, the Bible says? That Jesus died for you. That's where it starts. It doesn't end. We sang about that today. And I remember Beth has said this for years. She was like, you know, I forgot what setting it was in when I first heard her say this. But, you know, when the disciples laid down everything and followed Jesus, that was, we would treat that as the culmination of a maturation process of a lifetime of seeking the Lord. That's where they started. It makes my walk so, oh gosh, in comparison, so pitiful. However, that's one of the weapons the enemy causes fear to rise in me. Whether I've done it right or wrong up until October, whatever today's date is, I'm still his. And you are too, if you've yielded to Jesus, if you've confessed your sin to the Lord. So it starts there. But if you've done that, you're his. Amen? So that's the antidote to the fear of the enemy. When all else fails. We talked about it briefly just a minute ago. Ben Keith came over and was praying with me. Anybody have a place in your life, a walk with, in your life, your walk as a living, breathing human being, not the face you put for the public or Facebook or social media, but in your walk behind the veil when it's just you and the Lord, does anybody have what I call a kryptonite area? It's just an area. It might go dormant for a while, but it's seemingly when you get to flowing with the Lord and you make three steps forward, it's like that secret place the enemy can touch you, and it's your kryptonite. And it's just, and you're back in the storm. Anybody have any of those areas? It could be anything. Anxiety. It could be fear. It could be whatever. Guilt, regret, pride. My prayer is today that by the Spirit of God, some people may have, and I'm not, I know some of my kryptonite areas. You get to going pretty decent. It's like I get back on the devil's radar and I stop being my own worst enemy and I actually get on his radar and he has that area where he just seemingly, okay, I know where to get him. Well, I think God wants for us to at least acknowledge those and lay some of those things down. I'm not going to sit here and say that you're going to magically leave and that area will never be a problem again. I'm not going to say that. That's for clicks and books and views. That's God can do that. I know people that have left altars and never dealt with things before. I'm one of them. But I also know some things that I went to the altar for over a year and a half about that took a while for that thing to get completely gone. I've seen it all. So I'm not going to tell God how he needs to move in my life or yours. But I believe strongly that there's some things that God wants us to confess and let him get into. It's some light shining in some areas. And maybe it's just thinking. Most of it is just thinking. We don't think properly. We sang earlier, I know who you are, or I know who I am because I know who you are. Do you know who he is? You can't know who you are if you don't know who he is. And if you're not in the Word of God, you don't know experientially. I know I've got my list of why I'm not in the Word enough. But when the rubber meets the road, I forget who I am because I forget who he is. Because I'm not reinforcing it with the Word of God. It's not a deep sermon today. But if I truly don't want anxiety and fear to stop choking me, and I truly want those kryptonite areas to truly become off limits to the enemy, this is where it starts. I mean, we could have a visiting evangelist that with revelation that's mind-blowing. But if you don't get in the Word of God, it's not going to do you any good. Amen? So why are we not to fear? Because he's redeemed us. He knows us by name. We are his. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. It's like Beth Moore. I've heard her say in one of her teachings, you know, we all pray to be delivered from the fire. Or if we can't get that one, we'll settle for plan B. You know, deliver me through it, but go with me through it. The fourth man in the fire. You know, but Beth Moore says, you know, no preachers don't preach anymore about C. Sometimes God delivers by the fire. Now, we don't pray for that. And we'll get to this in a minute. But that's true. I mean, how many in here have prayed your guts out and fasted for things that didn't come to pass? I don't know. I don't know what's behind that. I don't. He does. I know the answer is not to disconnect from him, which is exactly what the devil wants you to do. Amen? Then it goes on, and I'll be done with this scripture. And then I'm going to flip it a little bit in verse 4. You have been honored. Why? Going to ask that a lot today. You have been honored. Why? Again, is it because of circle? You know, you did it right. You sought me with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know, I love a cheerful, this is God, you know, I love a cheerful giver. You've been a cheerful giver. No. What does it say? You've been honored because you're precious in my sight. End of story. And some of us need to not only begin to talk to God more, but we need to start talking to the enemy more. Just not in King James. Just honest discourse. I have dropped the ball, devil, so that guilt, the root of what you're flashing in my mind is 100% true. And I don't understand it, and right now I don't feel it. Been too long, I've waited till the song list was my song list, and I was on fire for 40 minutes. But right now, I don't feel it. But the Word of God says, I am honored in my God's sight. I am precious in His sight. Why? I've done it all wrong, yes. But I'm still His. Talk to the problem again. I used to. I hadn't in a long time. I used to just do stupid, crazy stuff. Weird. But whether that problem lifted or not, as I'm talking and going back and forth with God and the enemy or my flesh or whatever, it's drawing me closer to Him. And that's what we need more than anything, is to be closer to our Father, to have more communion with Him. Get Him out of the box. I promise you, He wants out. Amen? We're precious in His sight. Let me check my time here. Now I'm going to switch. That's kind of the undergirding of where we're going to be all through this. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Don't lose me here. You can be honest here. It's not a gotcha question. There's a couple of faces I was hoping to see this morning that are not. They may be listening. But anybody in here an Alabama football fan? I got, oh my gosh, Courtney. I had no idea. There's some crimson blood back there. Well, I'm going to, again, this is kind of funny to me. I was chuckling when I made, this started, Matt Young, we have the Shed Bible study at his behind his house. And he asked me one day, he said, hey, I may open tonight. But is there any way, if I give you the look, can you close? Yeah, sure. So I just went out and sat on the picnic table at my house, and the Lord just downloaded. Well, Matt and I were on the phone that day talking about it, and it was like, and not because I deserved it, but the Lord just kind of downloaded from me and Matt's conversation this little, not skit, but real life. You know, how God can speak to everybody in here. He uses Sid Garner, but He doesn't have to have Sid Garner, and you shouldn't either. If Sid can't be your only source. He cannot, as good as He is. I mean, as far as human beings, I would put my life was changed by God through Sid Garner and Mark Rutland at the top of the list of the people He used, but it was the Lord. It was the Lord. But in this, let me flip the page here. I just wrote down in my notes, share about Saturday night. So, rewind some. How many Georgia fans are in here? Okay. Couple of Saturday nights ago, you know, Georgia-Alabama game, right? So the Lord just kind of, I sat down after Matt and I spoke for about 10 minutes. I sat down that afternoon and jotted these notes down. Okay. So that's the backdrop, the Georgia-Alabama football game a couple of weeks ago. I wrote down, remember in your life, my life, when you anticipated something, there was genuine excitement in your heart, in your emotions, in your whatever, about something. Anybody? Because I remember that day, I was cutting grass. I wanted to get the grass cut before the game. You know, Beth typically, it differs who's going to be at the house during a game or something, but Beth never, you know, she always says, okay, what do y'all want me to fix? So invariably there's a grocery list for 1-2-3 dip or the chicken dip or whatever it might be. Amen? But there's an excitement for something you're looking forward to. Right? I'm going to read my notes. Special arrangements are done to make time for whatever it is you're excited about. Right? You without your wife getting mad at you before you, you know, I've cut grass and weed-eated in anger so many times through the years because Beth just chewed on me and I finally got tired of it. And I might not say anything, but the first 30 minutes of whatever chore I'm doing is the fuel is not the proper fuel. Anybody? But that this Saturday, I was going to get done. Why? Because there was something out there I wanted to get done. I wanted to make room for what I was excited about. Well, guess what? There's been seasons in my life where things of God were those things. When I genuinely, and I'm not saying this for responses, when I'd have butterflies on what God might do. Anybody? You did things proactively to make room for the things of God. Remember those days? For some of us, it might have been a long time. I'm not there now. Or where I want to be. We've come home from vacations early because the revival got extended. What would I do that now? I don't know. There was a time I spoke on a Wednesday night, and I can't remember what I spoke on. It's when Chris and Dana Roberts were still here. I remember that. But it was one of those nights, not because I was speaking, but the Lord was good. I just remember a good feeling. It's back when I still work at Cargill. I work every other weekend, but it was before you could work remotely. And I can't remember what night it was. Pastor C had called. Might have been sometime on Saturday. And he said, I just feel like the Lord wants you to share what you shared Wednesday. He said, don't prepare. I know it's short notice. Just share from the heart like you did Wednesday on whatever it was. Well, it was my weekend of work. And we were working Sunday. You know what I did? And I couldn't log on from home then. I got up like at 4 in the morning that Sunday, drove to Noonan, worked till about 9 o'clock, jumped in the car, and flew to the church service. Would I do that now? Probably not. But there was a time in my life where I would, because I didn't want to miss what God might do. And God's not angry at me or anybody else in this room. He's like, I got the answer to get that back. And it's just get in the Word. Look, turn to me. Put some of that stuff aside and reconnect with me. And I'll blow up. It won't be, I don't know what it'll look like, but it won't be boring. I can promise you that. But we make it so hard. And we wonder why we're dry. Why anxiety's choking the life out of us. Amen? God is not angry. He'll meet everybody in here. He'll leave the 99 and come get you. Because guess what? You're His. You're redeemed. He called you by name. Do you not think He would come get you, meet you, breathe on you? He will. He wants to. He wants to. But back to my notes. So special arrangements to make time for whatever it is. You invite. You gather together. You actually invite family and friends. Amen? Because you want to share. You want to share whatever it is with other people. Remember those days? And I'm just going to read my notes. So you do all that. Bam! Remember the game? Now, you were happy for the first hour and a half. A Georgia fan wasn't. So you've done all this stuff. You've prayed. You've fasted. You've done everything. You've done all this prep work. Excitement. Woo! Legitimately. And bam, the outcome that you were hoping for don't happen. Anybody? I'm talking about spiritual things too. You do your part, so to speak, and bam, you don't get the outcome you expected. Anybody? That's what happened to me and my dad. That's what happened, multiple things I can think of. And if you're not careful, if you unplug from God, you'll forget those things where he seemingly didn't move will carry much more weight in your spirit, your emotions, your mind than the things he has done. Because while I lost my dad to cancer, I went to his funeral with my niece that shouldn't have been there. Haven. Amen? Does that make sense? So, bam, you don't get the outcome you expected. So here, and this is back to Saturday night, a couple of Saturday nights ago. So you hang in there for a while. You're just, you know, you're screaming at the TV. You're screaming at Bobo. You're screaming at everything. But you hang in there for a while. Right, Georgia fans? I mean, I was still in the den at this point. But I wrote down, but eventually, you change the channel. Anybody ever had a ball game that come out? Eventually, you change the channel. You hang in. You don't quit immediately. You hang in there, but guess what you're doing while you're still there physically? I was checking out emotionally. Let this sink in. Anybody ever been there? You got too many people. What are people going to say if I'm not there physically? But you didn't get an outcome in some area of your life, so you done checked out emotionally. Anybody ever done that at this house? Right? However, let's look. I wrote down, I didn't totally quit, but the start of the emotional disconnect started. And I wrote down, because you ever get to a point where it hurts too bad to believe for a miracle? I mean, my gosh, what was it? 30-0? Hope was gone. Anybody ever been there spiritually? A relationship? Finances? Again, fear not. Anybody? If circumstances ever overrode what you know in your spirit to be true. Amen? So I didn't totally quit, but I had emotionally disconnected. Then I wrote down, well, and in my life, I did finally leave the den. I left the den. I gave Beth the remote. You can keep watching the game or you can turn it to Hallmark. I'm going to the bedroom. Because if you remember, if you're living this like I was living it, the Braves were still playing. And they were playing on another channel. So I went to the bedroom and I retreated and I would flip back and forth from the Braves game. Mostly the Braves game. And then I dozed off in my recliner. I did. I fell asleep thinking about what might have been. Dang, if that number, if Arian Smith would have just caught that bomb. You know, if we could keep somebody from going running down the sideline, you know, as sports fans, we all do it. So I didn't just go to sleep. I sit there and pondered it. Anybody? You're thinking about, you've disconnected, but you're thinking about what happened, what could have been. Well, if so-and-so would have just handled it this way, if so-and-so would have, you know, you wouldn't say it to them, but your heart would say, you know, if I did this, this, and this, and nobody ever said thank you. If somebody just said thank you, I wouldn't be puffed up right now. That's the kind of stuff that destroys people's walks with the Lord. If I'd have just got that promotion and got that raise, I could keep up with them. (Laughter)
But I finally fell asleep, thinking about what might have been. Then, I don't know what time it was, Trevor comes in the bedroom. Now, he downplays how he came in the bedroom, but he came in the bedroom. I was sound asleep. And I don't remember exactly what Trevor said. It was something to the effect of, "Daddy, you're not watching the game. You know, Georgia's come back. They're winning." And I remember, I didn't yell at him, but I was like, "Stop. I'm not in the mood for this." Anybody ever tried to share the Lord with somebody like that? "Hey, man, come on, man. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. There's still hope. He still loves you. Stop. It hurts too bad to believe that. Stop. It's just a bunch of mess. Hype." And I got the emotional scars to prove it, because it didn't turn out like I thought it would. I did believe for a little while. I did my part. And I didn't get what I felt like I deserved. Stop. And I wrote down, "Then something or someone wakes you up from your slumber." And I wrote down a family member, perhaps. A brother in Christ, sister in Christ. Take a look, a situation, a crisis. Anybody got any? What about some of your slumber seasons? What did God use to snap you out of it? A tough word from your pastor? I wrote down a burning bush. Moses, hello Moses. What do we do with them? What do we do with those? And I said, I had a hard time believing it until I got up and changed the channel back. I didn't believe, Trevor, that we were winning. And it reminded me, and I wrote down, I had a hard time believing that Georgia was winning until I got up and changed the channel back. And it reminded me when Jesus spoke to, was it Andrew? And then Andrew ran to Simon and said, "We found him. We found him." And Simon was like, What are you talking about? What was that? What was Andrew's answer? "Change the channel. Check it out." What do you say? "Come and see." Just change the channel. You see for yourself. God doesn't need us to be good salesmen. He just needs somebody to have enough excitement about what God's done in their life to be excited and have enough faith to say, "Just come and see." But all the fears, I mean, I've shared this before. I mean, the biggest fear I had back in the late 1990s, early 2000s, was when I was trying to get Daddy, and I remember I got CT in here one time. You know, I was just afraid of what would happen. Because the envelopes got pushed sometimes. I'll just leave it at that. That was my biggest fear. Looking back on it, it'd be nice to visit some of those times again. God might get out of the box. Woo, I'm gonna blow Daddy's mind. Get a message in tongues and an interpretation. You know, your boss comes to a revival meeting and some lady from Anniston fell from right there to right there, because I was sitting right there. And I walked half the service. You remember that? She laid where my feet were supposed to be. I wasn't comfortable at all. And that's truth. Amen? Had a hard time believing until I did change the channel. And then, you remember that night? This is about the time you were squirming back there. Bama fan. I said, hope was restored in an instant. Just like that. And I looked at, are you kidding me? How? Just picture somebody that depression has sucked the life out of them, finally comes to see, and they meet the same Jesus that changed your life, and they look at you and say, How did that happen? I haven't felt like this in years. Praise God. And I sat there full of elation for about 36 seconds. Because we had already kicked off, and I turned the channel just long enough to see a 70-yard touchdown, and my only point there is, when you chase carnal outcomes, you will be left empty. Eventually. You just will. Amen? And that's what I wrote down. I said, hope in worldly things is fleeting, but hope in the rock of Christ will never let you down. And I wrote this down. This was up the side here. When our hope or our focus is on worldly outcomes, when we don't get those outcomes, we are left empty. And if we're not careful, we can miss the true blessing. See, the true blessing that night was sitting in the den with my family watching a ball game. Now, I didn't see that. That was a burning bush I missed. I didn't see it during and present time. And in life, the true blessing is not the outcome. It's having enough childlike faith to be vulnerable and believing God for something that's bigger than our boxes, and the walk with Jesus that comes from that. That's the blessing. Not the outcome. Now, we want outcomes. We want good outcomes. We pray for them. God says ask for them, seek for them, knock for them. You don't have some of them because you don't ask for them. That's what Jesus said. But that's not the blessing, the true blessing. The true blessing is a walk with Him that'll change lives. Does that make sense? Because we just got back from Blue Ridge, and I say this all the time, but it's true. I could probably chart it. I don't have many more times when I can get together with everybody in my family. It's just, that's where we are in life. So having the true blessing was having a day and a half, basically, when everybody was together. And our focus is on what we're going to do, what we're going to eat. And that's fine. But the true blessing is having everybody there around the campfire. Aunt Mary got Trevor's guitar and strummed a little bit. Trevor played a little bit with his, you know. But how many of those burning bushes have I missed, James? Amen? Amen? I don't want to miss them anymore. Or I want to have a better batting average because we're human. We're going to miss them. We're going to. Amen? With the worship team, would y'all come up, please? If that's okay. And I'm going to close with this. If you want to turn to Luke 15. You could preach out of Luke 15. And there's just too many things. It's the prodigal son scripture. I'm going to fly forward and try not to chase every rabbit because there's just too many rabbits in this scripture, especially if you are a prodigal. It hits home. A lot of this scripture hits home with me. But I'm going to try not to chase rabbits and get to the point. Get my other piece of paper here. Because there's one point I really, 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 really want to make. And I want them to get ready to sing that song. See, Luke. Okay, Luke 15, verse 11. I'm going to read through it. It's familiar scripture to a lot of us. And again, I'm not going to stop and say things on every point. But a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." You can go ahead and stand up if you want to. "Give me the portion of goods that fall to me." So he divided up them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. Imagine that. Crises, storms, whatever they may be, they don't come in a convenient time. Anybody learn that by now in life? This famine didn't hit when he still had a pocket full of money. It hit after he had spent all. Amen? Then it says, and he went, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. We were created with voids. We were, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. We were created to have those places filled with the things of God. If they are not filled with the things of God, you won't be empty long. You will be filled with something. What does the scripture say here? He wasn't just in want, but his want drove him to connect with something that wasn't of God. So you disconnect from your heavenly Father and you go through a season of want, unfulfillment, frustration. You will connect to something. You will fill the voids you were created with something. And if you disconnect from God, whether you choose it proactively or not, you will join yourself to things you would never join yourself to. Who would purposefully join themselves to something if they knew the answer was anxiety and fear and frustration? But we do it every day. When the opinion of somebody on social media carries more weight in your emotional state than God. We do it every day. I do it. Here's the prayer. And when he joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, that thing you're chasing, those people you're chasing, that brass ring you're chasing, guess what? When you get it, he didn't say, come here, buddy. I know you're going through a hard time. He sent him out almost as an insulting gesture. Go feed my swine, you Jew boy. So that thing you're chasing, when you get it, guess what? It ain't going to give you what you thought you were going to get. And this is my prayer for everybody in this place, myself, every musician, for Pastor Sid, for everybody in this community. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, but when he came to himself, why? What does that mean? In my mind, there was a praying dad somewhere praying for his lost son. And this was when, for whatever reason, this timing, the spiritual climate began to change right here. Bam! Out of left field, he just started thinking more clearly. The confusion started to lift. The depression started to lose its grip on his mind, his heart, his spirit. That defeated mindset started to lift. He came to himself. He was thinking clearly for the first time, perhaps in years. What am I doing here? How did I let it get this bad? Why didn't I go to Pastor Sid earlier? Why did I run from church? Oh, God. Why? Oh, what's going on? Anybody ever been there? That's what we need. During worship, I was like, Lord, help me come to, help me think clearer than I've ever, help me think clearly again. Help me see some things I've been chasing for what they truly are. Amen. Came to himself And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father's, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and went to his father. And here's where I wanted to get. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. We could stop right there and if sink our teeth into that. That would hopefully counterbalance every lie the devil's telling everybody in this place. That you've done too much. You've been dry too long. When we come to ourselves and we take a step toward God, even though we know, we think we know how he's going to meet us, he runs to us with compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And here's where I wanted to hang my hat. Lord, just speak to somebody today. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The first part of verse 21 is 100% true. Father, that's what I did in October of 97 right here. Father, I had to be led. I didn't know the words to say, but what I said was, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you, Father. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. That was true. But the second part of that verse is what the devil is doing to many, 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 many people. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Wrong. The first part was true. You have sinned. But don't, because here's how the devil works. When he came to himself back in that pig pen, the devil was like, and this is how he works. He had done everything to that point to keep him from going back to his daddy. Anybody been there? Anybody lived this? The battle, to return home to my father? The devil did everything he could to keep him from coming to himself and going home. But once he made that decision to go home and he followed through with it, the devil's plan immediately changed. Now let this sink in. It was no longer, let me keep him from going home. It was, let me fight him between his ears and make him feel unworthy of what's going to be waiting on him when he does get home. That's where the devil has many of us. We feel unworthy. And the devil keeps us from seeing ourselves as we sang earlier. I know who you are. I know who I am because I know who you are. Many of us don't, Keith. We've believed the lie. You're unworthy to be called a son. It's a lie. And what does the father say? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Why? Why did the dad say that? Because the son had done everything right? He had done everything wrong. Why did the father say this? Isaiah 43. Kill the fatted calf because you are mine. No matter what you've done, you're mine. And I've redeemed you. I call you by your name. You are mine. End of story. Kill the fatted calf. Now my prayer is if you are fighting that battle between your ears of unworthiness, or whatever lie it may be, anxiety, fear, As we sing this song, don't come to me, don't come to victory. Come down to this altar and let your dad in heaven kill a fatted calf for you. He does not want you to leave thinking unclearly, confused about who you are in him. Come give that mess to your father. Amen. Father, I love you and I praise you. I thank you. You're just too good. And I pray right now in this moment that many would come to themselves, that the cloud of confusion would lift, that anxiety would lift in the name of Jesus, that fear would lift in the name of Jesus, that uneasiness and fear of the future would lift in the name of Jesus. Not because we don't have rivers to cross, but that you'll go through those rivers with us. Thank you for calling us by our names. Thank you for reminding us we are yours, Father. We are yours. Now I thank you. It is not by power, it is not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now I ask you to move, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Do you need to come? There's a good old-fashioned altar call. Do you need to come? Do you need to come lay some things down before your Heavenly Father? Robin just shared me. Keep singing. Keep singing. It may just be one person, but I want somebody to leave here with that mess in your head dealt with. Amen? Robin said that the Lord laid... When did you say he laid this on your heart? Yesterday. She was praying. Go ahead and sing it. Sing it. If you can. I don't know. She was praying to him, asking him to forgive her for the door she had opened for things in her life, and she led him to Luke 15. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to read this scripture right here, and I'm not begging somebody to come to the altar because I preached it. I want somebody to leave free. It says, I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So I'm not begging you to come down from me. According to the Word of God, one person that has an issue and repents of it and gets right with God, that causes more celebration in heaven, Pat, than if everybody in this room ran down here and just danced before the Lord. If you've got an issue, come lay it down before God. And the Word says heaven will rejoice. Amen? Amen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
not a prettier lyric, is that the right word, to describe when that son topped that hill. The devil was doing everything he could to keep him tending that grave. And he came to himself and he said, why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way in the form of my daddy? That's why we serve a good God, guys. I don't care what wound the shame came in through. God knows about it. Get it before him and let him start the healing process. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you and we love you. Help us take this and chew on this. That every form of mental assignment of the enemy be bound on earth as it's bound in heaven. Our thinking could be clear. That our thinking could be clear. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. We are dismissed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all have a great, great week. Amen.